Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. This is our final study, Philippians chapter 4, verses 20 through 23, titled Amen.
Some people try to guess.
And this is part 2 of 2.
The letters. And some said, well, maybe it's because he's afraid he'd leave somebody off and hurt their feelings. Other people said, well, there was a little bit of trouble there, and so maybe he's going to try to keep from elevating anyone above anyone else and all that. It's kind of weak if you think about it, because he doesn't have that problem when he writes other letters. So we don't know why he doesn't name anyone else. But I want to ask you this. After verse 23 in your Bible, it should say, to the Philippians, written from Rome by Epaphroditus. Does yours say that? Do you have that in your Bible? Now, if you don't, I'm not telling you to throw your Bible away, but I'm telling you that it's a shame that some of the publishers cut that information out. That's in the manuscripts that were translated in the Bible. It's in there. And it's basically how, when I write a letter, I stuff it in an envelope, lick it, you know, stick the stamp on there, and then I would write to the Philippians and give their address. And then up in the corner I'd say, you know, from BBF or Pastor Greg, and I'd give my address. Is that how you do it? Some of you probably don't know what I'm talking about. It's a thing called letters and mail. The United States Postal System. A lot of it, yeah, you have to use paper. It's not email. Because email, they're not charging for yet. We'll see how long that lasts. That's important information there. And it's interesting. He wrote it to the Philippians, but he's in Rome. That tells you he's either in prison or a house arrest when he writes this. And so Epaphroditus, we had a message on him. We actually did a study on Epaphroditus in a previous Philippian study. And Epaphroditus is going to be one of those people we're going to meet in heaven. He's going to be right up there with Timothy and Paul, Silvanus, Barnabas, yeah, Philemon, Onesimus, all these people in the Bible. You get to learn. I always tell everybody, if we should have as much zeal to learn the names of the people in the Bible as people do the names of the people in Lord of the Rings. Or Star Wars, or what's some of the other Harry Hooter or whatever his name is, Harry Potter. But verse 22. Let's move on. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Look at those last two words in your Bible there, Caesar's household. Closes his address with a reference to those of Caesar's household, which is probably the most difficult place at that time to be a Christian. Caesar's household? This was written during the time of Nero. This is written at a time when Caesar was a nut. And the persecution of Christians was horrible. Can you imagine what Nero would do? I'm sure there are stories. I've read them. I've forgotten more than I've learned. Amen? But the stories of Nero, if he found out anybody in his household was a Christian, what a thing, what a place to have to live. Some of you think you live in a rough place or maybe work in a rough place to be a Christian. That ain't nothing compared to being Caesar's household. This is a comment from another old preacher. He said, think of the abyss of lust and murder there, of the emperor by turns a buffoon, a sensualist, and a murderer. A strange place to find saints in that sty of filth. Kind of sounds like Hollywood and Washington, D.C. and New York and Chicago. Let no man say that it is impossible for a pure life to be lived in any circumstances. You get that? Or try to bribe his conscience by insisting on the difficulties of his environment. I just can't be a Christian. It's too hard where I'm at. You there are people in prison surrounded by sodomites and Nation of Islam and Sunni and Shia and atheists and KKK and everything like that, and they still manage to be Christians. But I gotta go to work and they're mean. It's hard for me to be a Christian. Pray for me. Somebody said something mean to me last week. I almost lost my salvation. Let me conclude the thought here. Alexander McLaren, it may be our duty to stand at our post. If you think of, you're called a soldier of Jesus Christ. You know that? The Bible calls you a soldier. It may be our duty to stand at our post, however foul may be our surroundings and however uncongenial our company. And if we are sure that He has set us there, we may be sure that He is with us there. Isn't that great? And that there can that there we can live the life and witness to His name. A fellow named Alexander McLaren. God's put you there so you can be sure He's with you there. Jenny, you're right, ain't you? And it's a reality that American Christians are facing, this reality. Now, let me give you an example from without, this kind of thing. Underneath that sign, it said, just because something is legal doesn't mean it's right. Abortion is legal and it's still murder. Gay marriage is legal and it's still wicked. Anything God says is wicked, I don't care what you and your government say. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. And so churches, this has happened all over the country, where they take spray paint and say, F your God, we love gays. Gays. And the thing is, we love gays more than they do. If you're gay, you know what? God will save you, and you can be saved from that wicked lifestyle. God hasn't closed the door on you. If you're gay, as it's the word sodomite in the Bible, homosexual, gays used today, God will save you. He has not closed the door on you. The Bible says to repent toward God with faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what your sin is, by the way. You're a wicked fornicator. You're a liar. You're a thief. You're a drunk. A dope head. Whatever it is. God will save you. But we love you enough to tell you the truth. Those people who are enabling you in your sin, they hate you. They don't love you. They are more than happy to watch you burn in hell. And in the meantime, destroy yourself. Destroy your life. That's not love. And also from within. Meaning inside the churches. Remember Paul said, with tears, day and night, warning people that wolves, grievous wolves, would come from within. Here's the latest Open Door Baptist Church. They say it has a history of sexual abuse and cover-ups. Ex-members blame the culture of that church, and the culture was bred by the pastor who was arrested. And that's going on inside churches all over the country. And and I'm not naming names, but it's happened here locally. They have somebody molest a kid, have adultery going on within the congregation, and because they don't want to hurt the number of people in the pews and the money given, they don't confront it because they're afraid they'll lose somebody. It's wicked. That's not the world's fault. That's the fault of Christians not following the Word of God. But in our battle to stave off what's going on without, but also deal with what's going on within, we will get by God's grace. Amen. And God's grace is in His Word, He tells us exactly how to deal with these things. His Spirit emboldens and enables you to take the stands you need to take, to speak the words you need to speak, if you'll just let go of this filthy world and let God take control and live by the Word of God and live by the Spirit of God. You'll find yourselves on the right side of these issues, taking the right stand. And it's all by God's grace. It's not in you. Nothing. You have to humble yourself and realize it's by the power of God's Word and His Spirit that I am able to stand and do the things I need to do. And as soon as you think it's you, you're going to fall. So verse 23 closes by saying, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Everything we have is by God's grace. Unmerited, undeserved, unearned. If you're here this morning and you think you're going to get to heaven because you were such a good person, you've earned your way in God's sight, you're going to hell in a handbasket. That's why it's so sad. I mentioned the Barbara Bush thing Wednesday night. And I know some of you may think this is weird, but I do this frequently. I watch the funeral because I wanted to see what was said. And there's a little glimmer of hope when Jeb gets up there and said that his mom told him that Jesus was her Savior and that she was ready to die. The problem with that is that everything I'd read before the funeral contradicted that plain statement. But the most telling statement was by the Episcopal pastor who got up and gave the sermon, and he said that Barbara told him, "Yes, I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Savior, but I believe others have their own path to God." Now, what she's saying is that she doesn't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. If your Jesus is a way, He's not the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So if Barbara is right, then Jesus was a liar. Jesus isn't to be trusted. He's a bloviating, arrogant, braggadocious liar if He's not the way. But I believe He is. Now, folks, there's a lot of questions that go into that, and there's nothing wrong with being intelligent and recognizing those questions. But let me tell you, I believe Romans 1 says that the creation itself is a witness that will give you a sense of conviction that there is a God and that you, something not right. And if you, there's people who haven't come to that because they just don't think. People are like zombies. They go through life without thinking. Most of you took a shower this morning because you're filthy. And you know it. That's why you spend so much money on soap and shampoos and conditioners and deodorants and, you know, all that stuff. And folks, it's necessary for us to have toilets with toilet paper. Why? Because you're fallen. There's something wrong. You've got some filthiness about you. Everybody thinks they're too, you know, "Oh, I don't want to hear about that. Go to church on Sunday morning and hear about people having to go to the restroom." It's in the Bible. Old Testament, you had to carry around a little shovel. Go outside of the camp and bury that crap. Why? Because God didn't want to step in it. But the fishes, God actually walked through the camp, it says. And He didn't want to step in your poo. You just learned something this morning, some of you, I can tell. It's true. Bible. And can you blame Him? Plus, attract flies and the other animals eat it and then they poo and it gets in the air and you have plagues. That's why through the years, a lot of times the Jews were blamed for plagues, because all the Gentiles would poop in their front yard and then everybody gets sick, while the Jews buried theirs and they didn't get sick. And everybody says, well, it must be the Jews that are making everybody sick. Yeah, that's for real. What was you going to say about Jesus saying? Speaking of changing diapers. Yeah. You didn't hear that, but Charlie made a good point. Jesus talked about how what goes in the mouth isn't what defiles, it's what comes out. When you eat, it comes out in the draft. That's sewer. Yeah. I just would love to be with you when you go out this today or tomorrow and you're talking to somebody and say, yeah, at church Sunday we learned all about pooping and burying poop and sewers and praise the Lord.
Yeah. So that scripture is referring to
Deuteronomy 23:14. Write that down and read it sometime.
That's what I checked out.
Yeah. Read it. Read it out loud, real loud. Yeah. Check me out. I know you don't have to. She always is, but always check me out. Because
for the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thy enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee.
And that's about burying excrement in the context.
Oh, and right before that it says 13, it says, and thou shalt have a cattle upon thy weapon, and it shall be when thou wilt keep thyself abroad, thou shalt give herewith, and shalt turn back to cover that which cometh from thee.
Amen. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. I could say more, but I won't. Get back to this. So, everything we have is by God's grace, unmerited, undeserved, and unearned. Folks, that's why if you're saved this morning, you're saved because of what Jesus Christ did, not what you do. Jesus died on the cross. They nailed him to that cross. He shed his blood and paid the full price for your sin. He paid the full price for your sin. You can't help him.
Amen.
Nothing you can do can add to that.
Amen.
Then when they buried him, he didn't stay buried.
Amen.
That's why his death is applied to you today if you trust in him. Because when he rose from the dead, he conquered sin. He conquered the death penalty on you. He conquered hell. And so those who look to him for salvation are saved eternally by his works, not your works. It's a wonderful thing. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all by his grace. If you could go to heaven because of your works, you could go to heaven and boast about it. But no one will. The last person to try to boast in heaven was named Lucifer, and it got him thrown out.
Yep.
Titus 3:7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Love that stuff. And the last word in our text and in this letter to the church in Philippi is the one word. Say it with me.
Amen.
Amen. With Paul, all of God's people can say amen. If you're not one of God's people, then you'll read the Bible and you say, well, I don't really like that. I think I'll throw that out. I don't really care for that. Let's get rid of that. God's people don't have an opinion about whether God's right or not. We just want to know that we're right about what God said. And once you know that you know you've got it right, then you just say, amen. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. It means so be it, by the way. Just you're saying, so be it. You're giving your agreement or your approval when you say amen. So let's sing about where we're going. The pastor's favorite hymn, number 500. in the hymn book. Now, the Bible itself, not just what we have been reading in Philippians, but the Bible itself ends with the exact same words. If you go to the very last verse of the book of Revelation, it also says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. Isn't that interesting? This letter to the Philippians ends the exact same way the entire Bible ends, by reminding us that it's by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his desire that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all is a prayer. And so Philippians ends, Revelation ends, the Bible ends by giving you that example of prayer for one another, prayer for God's grace in the lives of other believers and the people we love. So let's go ahead and sing that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We thank you for everyone who has joined us this morning here in the building and online. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace, this wonderful reminder that we should be about your business even when we're taking care of our own personal affairs. We're working, or no matter what we're doing, we can always have a heart of praise and lifting your name in praise when we have the opportunity. Telling others about how that Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. Offering that eternal salvation to all who will listen. And praising you day in and day out. Looking forward to the time when we're in your presence and the wonderful promises of what heaven will be. And to all those things we owe to Jesus, it's by His grace alone. And to His praise, we simply say, Amen. Amen. We lift up all these prayers with a heart of thanksgiving. Looking forward to seeing you, we ask you, come quickly. Be with each one as we go out today and throughout the week. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. Amen.